Okay, we're picking up the Gemara of five lines from the bottom of Chavtes and the Beis was Amar Vudim or Shmuel. We're discussing again the continuation of what things can be used for the purpose of an Erev. So the Gemara is going to make a chiluk between a liftan. A liftan is something that's generally eaten with bread, and something that's just a regular dish that's not necessarily eaten with bread. So says the Gemara, Amar Vudim or Shmuel, Kol Shu liftan, anything that is eaten with bread, like something that you'll eat all the time when you have a dip or something like that, it complements the bread. So then the halacha is going to be, it's kedei le'echalbo. Then you have to have enough of it that you would normally have with the bread. Even though you don't have the bread physically, it's a fascinating din, is that, let's say, so like hummus, if you have hummus, you'd have enough hummus that you need with the accompaniment of bread for those two meals. Kol she'ino liftan kedei le'echalbo. However, if something that's not necessarily eaten with bread, usually not eaten with bread, so then you would have to have enough of it, of the entire thing, to be eaten to satiate you with the two meals. So let's say something like pasta, which pasta we know is, you don't usually eat that with bread, so you'd have to have enough pasta to fill you up, as opposed to the hummus, which would just be, you can count as if you had the bread there, even if you didn't. So that's the fascinating thing. Now the Gemara says, basar chai is going to be kedei le'echal mina. When it comes to raw meat, the lacha is going to be that it has to have two full meals of this basar chai, because apparently this is something that's eaten in its regular state, and it's not eaten as a liftan. So the Mar says, basar tzli, what about roasted meat? This is machlokis. Rabba amar kedei le'echalbo. Rabba says is that you need just the amount, that it's like an accompaniment to bread. So you have it as if you had the bread with it, so it'd be like a liftan, which is more mekel again, because you only need less of the shear, because we view it as if you have the bread as well. However, Rav Yosef amar kedei le'echol amin. Rav Yosef argues, he says you have to have enough fully to have two meals from it. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yosef, and I'm going to Rav Yosef says, I'm going to bring a proof to you from my shita. How do I know this? Tahani parsei abale achle tavake below nehamba. So that, how do I know this? Because the Persian people, they eat this roasted meat without any bread, which shows that this, some way, is the darach of certain people to have this food, to have this meat, this roasted meat without bread. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye Abaye rejects this, is a parsaya veruba de alma. I don't get it. It's because this one small portion of people have, they have this one small area of the Persians who have this. You're going to say that the halacha, that chumrah, is now going to apply to the rest of the world that doesn't, let's say, have that enough. Lefi Tosos, will give Tosos Ukimta, not even on this staff. Unless Tosos has the Ukimta, we're talking specifically to say that even the svara of Rav Yosef is that if they would have enough money for this, then we would say that that they would, everyone would eat it without bread. So most people don't have enough money, but since there is a location where they do have enough money, so then we're going to say, yeah, in Achanam, everyone doesn't have to be machmir. So the Gemara says, so they're bringing a proof against that principle, Vatznan. Specifically, again, I'll give it to the Tosafot Kimta, that if you have enough money to do something, that you can, you're going to have to be more machmir meikel. Is that really true? The Gemara says, we see by Bigdei Aniyim La'Aniyim, that the clothing of a poor person, so we know that we discussed this in Masechta Shabbos a little bit, is that when it comes to what's the minimum shear for a beged? So there's a major difference between a poor person and a rich person. A poor person is going to be three etzbaos by three etzbaos. So just put your three fingers together. That's the minimum shear for a piece of cloth that's chashuv, and that's going to be subject to tumah, because it's something that is considered a piece of cloth that they would use. However, an ashir would only have three tfachim by three tfachim, much bigger. Three of your hand fists full together from one to the other, that's three, that's much bigger than three etzbaos. So there is different shearim. So the Mishnah tells us that the clothing of the poor person who will use a piece of cloth of three etzbaos by three tfachim, that's going to be alachas for the poor people. Big ashirim ashirim, and the clothing of the wealthy people, they only use, again, a much bigger share, three tefachim, three tefachim, that's the milacha for them. Turning on to next time. But now, aval, big day, ashirim, laniyim, lo. But clothing for the poor people, you don't need the shear of the ashirim. Because if they happen to have a clothing of a rich person, it's still going to be tameh for them by three etzbos, by three etzbos. We see that for them, that the aniyim, we don't need the big day, ashirim, meaning, even though, what do we see? That according to Rav Yosef, the whole svara by the fitosos again is that if they had enough money to eat this meat without the bread, but let's say they had enough money to have all steak dinners, who could think of such a thing? Going to a dinner at a restaurant not having bread, right? Yeah, right? So that doesn't exist. Is that people could just go have a steak and not have bread with it to fill them up? But yeah, such a thing exists, Baruch Hashem. People have a lot, we have a lot of Gashmius as well in our life. So either way, so we see that if you are able to afford such a thing, Rav Yosef argues that everyone should have the chumra. So we see over here that's not the case though, that when it comes to aniyim, that we're still going to qualify their halacha as for them as three etzbos. Even though there are, if they would be rich, they for sure would only wear something that's three etzbos by three etzbos. But since they don't have enough money yet, we still see the halacha is you're allowed to be mekel. So the Gemara says, so v'chi teima ha'cha l'chumra, now maybe only the halacha would only be l'chumra, is that if you have an ashir having a big baguette of anani, we still give him the halachas, the ani, we would still give the halachas of the ani, that an ani three etzbos would be more machmir. But the other way around, to say that he can be mekel, the ani mekel for the ashir shir, to have three tvacha, that's not going to be the halacha. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says again, v'chi teima ha'cha l'chumra, v'cha l'chumra, that's not the case. V'atani Rav Shem Elazar says, ma'arvin l'chola zakin kedimus, another arvas misuda beinu nasa chodam. Again, we want to assume that halacha is not going to change on an individual, enough of an individual basis, that if something is not the rov of the people, we don't change the halacha. However, we see that that's, and only maybe l'chumra will we be choshish for a certain pocket of people doing things. So again, we want to say that maybe the Persian example on the aniyim, that's only chumras. So we never see anywhere that it can be makel based on a small local of people, a small locale of people doing something. So where it says, so what do we answer? So we answer, we say that marvin l'chol zakat k'nei mezonah, that you're allowed to make an air for a sick person according to what they normally eat. And since he eats less than most people, you could have a smaller shear. That's the finish of year. The person who eats a ton, he's a ravasan, someone who eats all the time, so he's obese, right? He eats tons of food. So according to, with him, it's still going to be the average meal for most people. So we see for the brisa that we're makel on the elderly and the sick people, and we're also makel on the ravasan. So the Gemara says, Enachanami, that this in fact is a kasha, this is going to be a question. There's nobody to defend Rav Yosef from that kasha. Okay, kasha is here, there is a terrorist. We've shown him many times, tried to answer a kasha. I'll talk about that. The Rishonim tried to answer a kasha as opposed to Yufta, so this, there is an answer, but at the end of the day, we leave it off as a tarachian on Rav Yosef. Now that the work continues, still, going back to analyzing the opinion of Rishon ben Elazar, the Gemara says, Rishon ben Elazar, did Rishon ben Elazar really say that someone who's a Ravasam with regards to the Erev is going to be based on the average person's needs? V'atana, don't learn in a Braisa, that the Mishnah tells us in Olos, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Og Melech Habashim Pischo Kimlo, that we don't go after the general people, that how could it be the Ravasam, someone who is obese, has the smaller share, we see that he is Mashmir, that if you have a giant, Old Melam Rosh is always an example of someone who's really big. So you have someone who's 10 feet tall. So when it comes to halacha of Tuma, we'll give a quick introduction over here. When it comes to the halacha of Tuma's mace. So if a mace dies in the house, we know that everything in the house becomes tummy. There's a chiddush that we learn out is that when a person dies in a house and there was an open door, so we assume that the mace, that the whatever it means, that the dead body's Tuma only is going to leave through the door that was open. So that door that was open, the tumah leaves, and we don't assume that it goes backwards towards the other rooms that are closed behind it, or something like that. So the halacha is only when these openings are 4x4 tzvachim. That's the minimum shear of a 4x4 tzvachim. So the Braisa tells us, though, again, so the Braisa tells us that 4x4 is a general shear. Rav Shimon Elazar says that if Ol Melech Habashon is that you can't say that the shear is going to be the normal 4 tzvachim because he won't fit through a 4 tzvachim. He's massive. He's 20 feet tall. So it must be that the Pesach has to be bigger in order to assume that the dead body, the tumah, is only going to leave the house through that exit and not go through the rest of the house and then hit the rest of the house. Because again, if all the doors are closed, then everything in the house becomes tummy. But if the front door is open and it's more than 4x4 tefachim, then we can assume the tumah is immediately going to go. So if he dies right by the front door, then the tumah is going to go outside and not necessarily go behind it through that. That's the halacha over here when it comes to tumas avel. So we're saying over here that we do view it as an individual status over here because you have Ol Melech Habashon, he is massive, and you would need a bigger shear for the doorway. So the Gemara says for the openings. The Gemara says, how are we going to answer this kasha? Baya is going to answer the question by saying the following. Hasam heichel yaved. According to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, there you have no choice but to view it on an individual basis because it's not possible for a person to remove the body without opening it more. And since we don't have any shear of any Pesach that's open, so then we assume that we have to make an individual shear. However, in the case of the Ravasan, the guy who's obese and he eats a ton, according to him, the halacha is determined based on an average person because he could theoretically eat less. It's something that's physically possible, and that would be the halacha. So that's what we learn from the Shita of Abayas. The Gemara says, "Ibaylo, pligi Rabbanan leher, Rabbi Shimon Elazar alav." Do the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Shimon Elazar, or do they agree with him? So the Gemara says, "Tashma." We can bring a proof that they really do argue with him. The Amar Rabbi Rachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, "O Melech Habashon pislo be'arba." When it comes to the dead body of O Melech Habashon, it's going to be daf if the Pesach is 4x4 tefachim. If the opinion is If the opening is more than 4x4 tefachim, then it would become it would be good enough to say that tumah leaves through that status, and the thing's mind it would not become tameh. So what do we see from here? That they make a standard shear. Agav, it's important to know Yochanan is a mora. So why are we bringing a proof that the Rabbanan disagreed with him? So I saw Ratan, that I'm going to bring down, is that when it comes to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, it couldn't be that he would argue with a Tana. We don't have Tana of Palak. Rabbi Yochanan is a Shaila. Most Rishonim assume that we don't say that rule by Rabbi Yochanan. He's not able to argue on a Tana. So we see that if he says this halacha, it wouldn't go straight against the Beferish of Raisa. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan found it in other Rabbanan that was the majority Shita. That's why he quoted that Shita. Okay. So the Gemara now says, but maybe this isn't a proof. The Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Elazar would really agree with the Rabbanan. And why would that case be different? Because Hasam, the Ikub Safim Tanim Tuva, Vikachad Avi Arba, Devadik Amarbach, Bahu Kamavarach. That, no. So we can make a chilek. Even Rabbi Shimon Elazar would agree that if you have a shear of four, only one opening of four tfachim, and the rest of the exits to your house are way smaller than four tfachim. So clearly, if you take out the dead body, how do you take him out? Through the biggest opening of four tfachim, a minimum shear of four tfachim. So if I would take him out through that minimum shear of four tfachim, what are we saying? That only, so then our, yeah, he doesn't fit through any other Pesach. But you would, wait, how are you going to take him out? You're going to take him out the one that's the biggest one, that's a real halachic shear. So I would definitely take him out of that opening over there. And that's where Shimon Lazar would agree that if it's four tefachim in that case, it would for sure leave through that derech, and things that are behind it, again, as we mentioned in the Nafkamina, his reminder would not become tamei. Okay, the market is Amar Rav Chia Bar Hashem Rav Ma'arvin Bebasra Chayer. Let him make an error of using raw meat. Amar Rav Shima Barchia, so Ma'arvin Bebeitzim Chayer. Another chiddush over here. Let him make an error of using raw eggs. Apparently, these are enough to say that people would eat them, and enough to say people would eat them. It was Shasar Chak. If people are willing to eat them, then they're going to be the shear. The Gemara says, "Kama, how much is going to be the lach when it comes to the raw eggs? It's going to be enough for two meals." The Gemara answers, "Amar Nakri Yitzchak Sinai Amar Shtayim." That Sinai is a reference to Rav Yosef, because he had a big bikias. The Gemara Bracha tells us already he had many, knew the Mishnayos, knew the prices, and he had all the Bikiyas. So we see that the Gemara has a debate. What's better, Oker Hari, we learn Bi'in or Sinai? The Gemara answers Sinai is better. The first know all, because everyone needs the Mara Dechita, the Gemara's Lashon was, because everyone needs to know the Bikiyas, and you know all of Shas, and then you can start learning Bi'in. Either way, we see that Sinai, he said Shtayim, two eggs are going to be enough. That was his nickname, that was Rav Yosef. The Gemara continues now, that when it comes to the Bracha of Bor Mizonos, we're going to see, we've discussed the Chiddush that Bar Mizonos applies to the Chamishis meaning. That was the opinion of Rav Shmuel and the Gemara in Brachos. So the Gemara now is going to analyze this based on the Mishnah over here. The Gemara says, "No different than a Mazon Mutar B'Mayim." Someone who made a vow to say that he's not going to have Mazon, I'm not going to have things that sustain me, then he's allowed to have water and salt. The Gemara says, "Melech Mayim Adulavei Krim Mazon." So we see that from this Mishnah that the only thing that's not called Mazon is water and salt. However, everything else is called mazon that would sustain you. The Gemara says maybe that's a kasha limit of itself to the Rav Shmuel. The Rav Shmuel, the Amrei Tavayu, ain varchen ala bar mizonos ala chamishes mina bilvad. We saw this Gemara in Ketzer Mivarchen. Rav Shmuel held that you only make a bar mizonos on a chamishes mina dagan and not anything else, as opposed to orez v'dochan, orez and rice, which according that was the sheet. So we had orez v'dochan and just orez. We ended up passing only orez, I think. That's the only time we make a mizonos. And we ended up asking Kasha on Rav Shmuel from the Braisa that says, or as you make mizonosan, you make on rice. According to most shitas, Rashi has an interesting shita. He says that orez is millet. Tosa says, no, it's talking about orez. Orez is clearly rice. Rashi always says, look at Spanish. Arroz, is it, what's it in Spanish? That's clearly rice. Everyone defines that as rice. So orez, we assume, is rice. There are those. Okay, not getting into the whole thing about what bracha to make on rice. Most shitas hold that you make a mazoros for vanos. I think the Shulchan Aruch Rav is choshes shvitas Rashi lehalacha. So he says maybe it's hadama made shakal. So then he says maybe hadama maybe mazonos. He's not sure. So he says you make a shakal. That's his prayer. Okay, not getting into so much over here. But what do we see? That they hold it's only on the chamesh. We know nothing else. So here we see that that's not true. Everything else is called a mazon that nourishes you and it gives you sustenance. So that it is, and we see that everything except for water and salt would be included in that rule. So the Gemara says, but why are we bothering asking a kasha and Rav Shmuel? We already asked a kasha in the Gemara, as we mentioned over there. The Gemara there told us that there was a braisa against their shita. So we see, we already asked a kasha. We rejected Rav Shmuel. We say halacha l'maisa. So you make a bracha on orez. So again, the only machlokes what we're showing him is arguing what exactly orez was. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara is just pointing another point. Yeah, right, we asked the Kasha over there, but maybe also this Mishnah is not going to be problematic on Rav Shmuel. Maybe that this is also problematic for Rav Shmuel.
So Gemara says, no, Amar Avuna, but Omer Kolazan Alai. Avuna said that there's no kasha because we're saying the lashon of anything that satiates me is going to be, is not including that. However, so meaning we're making a chiluk between the lashon of mazon, which is implying only 5 grains according to Rabbi Shmuel, as opposed to Kolazan, which is said is giving me nourishment, and anything that's giving me nourishment and giving and able to fill me up would be included in Kolazan, but mazon is not a kasha from the Mishnah. As opposed to kol mazon, the Gemara says, "My melachut lozan." Everything else could use zan. It will give you, it will satisfy you to fill you up, but it doesn't give you necessarily mazon. It's not going to necessarily satiate you. The difference between satiation and satisfaction. So the Gemara now says, "Is that really true?" The Ve'alma Rabba Barchana ki havi azli basri Rabbi Yochanan the mechal pir de Geniser. When I went to Rabbi Yochanan, we ate the fruits of Geniser, which is again that was the area by the Kinneret, and they had amazing, delicious fruits. Kavinan bemeo, when we were 100 people with Rabbi Yochanan, bemaktina kochad v'chad asara, each of us would take ten fruits of him and give him be'asara, and so therefore we had 1,000 fruits total. Kavinan be'asara, when we were 10 people, kavinan maktina kochad v'chad mea, there was 1,000 fruits, so we were each able to have 100 fruits. They weren't just small fruits, they were massive. Each one could fit in the basket of 3 sus. So these are massive, massive fruits we're discussing over here. Yochanan would eat all of them and say, Shvua, the Lotayim Mizunai. I'll make a Shvua. I'll swear that I'm not full from this. We see that there are other foods that don't necessarily give a person, they don't necessarily sustain someone by all these, like fruits, these fruits, for example. The Gemara says, so Imam Mizunai, Yochanan was saying, I haven't eaten sustaining food. I definitely am satiated. I just don't have satiation. That is the difference, as I mentioned before, between sustenance and satiation would be the difference for the halacha lemaisa. So therefore, Rav Shmuel is not necessarily against the Mishnah. As we pointed out, the Achai Adam Paschal the halacha against Rav Shmuel because we reject the halacha. So we hold that mazon really does include everything except for mayim umelach. If that's the case, then he says, if you make a borah mizonos b'di'evan, as I mentioned before, la lacha, you'd be yotze b'di'evan on your bracha, on anything, if you actually make the bracha borah mizonos, on anything except for water and salt. However, we saw the chiddush of Rav Moshe, who does accept, agav, it's important to note, that the Mishnah Berurah in Bir Lacha, I think, accepts this chaya adam, and so does Rav Moshe. However, it's important to note that Aruch HaShulchan actually disagrees with this Pesach and Gansan. He says that it doesn't help you with the Avid. However, it seems to be because of Rav Moshe and Rav Moshe and the Mishnah Berurah, it seems to be that the Minhag Olam is to rely on. That's however Rav Moshe's Mechadish, though. Rav Moshe says that if you accidentally did do this situation, you should not eat anymore because you're making a b'di'avid bracha. You're making a bracha that shouldn't be, you're eating food only on a b'di'avid on a lower level. So you should go outside and make yourself, normally we say not to do this because if you say bracha shin and tzuch, that's not a good thing. But since you didn't make the correct bracha, he allows you to go outside over here. You'll force yourself to say a new bracha rishona. And if you know the correct bracha, so then you should make the correct bracha. Interesting, Rav Moshe halacha. I think many people accept that psaka for Moshe. Mark is now, Amar Avuna Marav. If you say the lashon of shvush l'och like a kuzov, I swear I'm not going to eat this bread. So ma'ar ben labai, you're still allowed to make an air with it because apparently if a person makes this lashon, he's allowed to. Rashi says that you're allowed to have. You only never made was for achila purposes, and this wasn't the problem of achila purposes over here because at the end of the day you're having hana, but you're not going to eat it. However, if you say kikar zu alai, which is something Rashi points out, it sounds like everything is hana, not just from the hana of achila, but the hana in general, any benefit whatsoever from this bread, then emar ben, but you're not making it because you're having benefit from the bread if you use it. So the Gemara says, so Mesivya, we have a kasha ravuna because of the following. Hanoder mina kikar me'arvin loba. If you make a shvua, if you swear that to say that you're going to have bread, so you're not going to have this bread, you're allowed to make an air with it. My love, the Amar Lai, isn't Lachora, this Bryce is saying that a person says that to me, this bread is going to be answered to me, and even so the Bryce says it's allowed to be used in an air, this is against Rav Huna. The Gemara says, "Lo, the Amar Zo." We're talking about the person says, "Lashon, I will not eat this bread." In which case, you're showing any hana as you mentioned from Rav Huna. The Gemara says, "Not only that, but this interpretation makes more sense." The Tani says, "Because at the end of the statement of the Brisa, we see that the lashon of the Brisa is emasai bisman shamar shvua shelo etamena." Not only that, the lashon of the Brisa is, "You say, I swear, I'm not going to taste this," which seems to imply, "Amar Lo alai." So that the Gemara says that seems to indicate from the beginning that if you said to me, "This is going to be that," what's the halacha? Achanami to imarvin laba. That the halacha would be that you would not make an error with it. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if you want to interpret the Braisa of this, that we have this example of a difference between a person who says Shvua Shalo Ochal Kikarzu versus Kikarzu Alai, if that's the case, then the Seifa of the Mishnah of the Braisa is problematic because Adetani, the Lashon of the Braisa and the Seifa is Kikarzu Hektish in Marvin Labat, that this bread is considered holy to the base of Mikdash. He would consecrate it on the base of Mikdash. We say you're not allowed to make an Erev with it. So the Gemara says, because why not? Because you can't use a hekdesh for an Erev, so therefore it's usher to have any benefit whatsoever. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, if we have a case that you don't have to bring hekdesh, this far-fetched case, bring a can of example of Lidlik Lidlista, Bebidah, Bebidita, Bemid, Ramurim, Damarzu, Avalamaralai, and Ramarvalabada. At the end of the day, there's a chilik minayu bed, there's a chilik between the same two cases, the cases of a person who has bread for the Erev and wants to say, I will not eat this bread, or a person who says that this bread is usher to me, of right, Amaralai, and Ramarvalabada, they have a chilik, a very clear chilik between the two Lashonas. Why do you have to bring this far-fetched case of hekdesh when I know that there's a case where it's going to be usher to you if you just say Amar, that you say the lashon of alai, that this bread is usher alai, that it's going to be usher. So the chora, the fact that the Brisa doesn't do this is very difficult with Rav Huna. However, the Rav Huna is going to point out that what are you going to say? Amar lachor Rav Huna is going to respond. What are you going to argue with me? You're going to say the following: Elamai kol echad amar alai ma'arvin. What's the lashon? A person says whenever something is usher to me, that's going to be allowed to make an erev kasher ratio. But the beginning part we mentioned, the lashon of the Brisa Rashi says is emas abizman shamar shvua shelo etameno demashma the lashon is amar alai is low. The first lesson of Alai, you're not going to be usher to it. Like the Reisha of the Braisa seem to be Meduyek, like Rav Huna. So the Gemara answers, how are we going to say? The Gemara says, Chazur Mechzer Afdin. We're going to answer the beginning part, according to Rav Huna's Kasha. We'll answer Rav Huna's Kasha and we'll say, Hanoder Mena Kikar Ma'arvin Lobad. Someone who makes a neder from bread, we are allowed to make an Erev with him with it. Afilo Amar Alai, even if he said to me, this bread is prohibited to me. Nasek Yomar Shavuot Shalat Amar Alai, like you said, the Lashon that you swear you're not going to taste it, and therefore, an Erev is allowed to be used with this bread. So the Gemara says, but that's good, however, Kasha Rav Huna, that we answer the steer between the Reish and the Braisa, but we don't have a Kasha Rav Huna who says that there is a chiluk between we see a chiluk between Omer Alai versus Harakikar Zuz. So the Gemara answers, how are we going to answer for Rav Huna? Because he's going to assume it's a machlokas tanaim, and he holds like a different Tana. Who Damar Rabbi Lezer? He's going to hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds the Tana Rabbi Lezer says, Lezer Omer Shvua Shalovach Harakikar Zuz. If I'm going to make the Shvua that you're not going to eat this bread, Ma'arvin Lobad person is allowed to make the Erev with it. Kikar Zuz Alai, however, if you see the Lashon of this bread is usher to me, which implies he's not going to have any benefit from this at all. In Marvin Lobad, a person is not allowed to make any Erev with it because the Erev would allow him to violate the Tchum Shabbos, which would be a real benefit to go past his Tchum, and that would be a real benefit for him. So the Gemara says, did Rabbi Lezer really say this though? The Gemara asks, Rabbi Lezer even say this statement? But Tanya, Rabbi Lezer says, Zaklal Adam Oser Atma Ba'ocha, a person makes a Shvua that prohibits food for himself against the Marvin Loba, a person's allowed to make an Erev with it. Ochal Anesu Lo Adam, if he makes a Shvua, a food that's usher to a person, which implies that all benefit is going to be included, but you're not allowed to make an Erev with it. Rabbi Lezer says, Kikar Zu Alai is Lashon, if this bread is usher to me, that implies it's going to be usher on any benefit whatsoever. Still, we say the Lashon of Marvin Loba, you're allowed to make an Erev with it. Kikar Zu Hektish in Marvin Loba, the fish in Marvin Loba Hektish. So, however, he brings the case of when is it not good, if Lashon of Hektish. So if the fact that he brings Lashon of Hektish, it sounds like if he says Kikarzu, that Kikarzu Alai is not a problem. So where it says, isn't this seemingly, this chiluk, both of them are not going to be problematic according to Rabbi Eliezer? So how are we going to answer this? The Gemara says, you're right, trait to the other Lezer. Apparently, there are two different people who argued what Rabbi Lezer held, and really Rav Huna followed Rabbi Lezer's opinion in the first price, as we mentioned, which does make the chiluk, as opposed to the ruling of the Tana Kama, and then the Rabbi Lezer's response, which does not make the chiluk that would help Rav Huna. The Gemara continues that Marvel the Nazar B'yayin. They're allowed to make an Erev for a Nazar with wine. The Gemara says, Masnisin to look like Bishamai. It must be that Rav Mishlai is not according to Bishamai. The Sana, because we learned in the Braisa, Bishamai says, Bishamai Omer Me'im Marvel the Nazar B'yayin with Yisrael with Shuma. Bishamai says, you're allowed to make an Erev for a Nazar with wine or for Yisrael with Shuma. Basila says, you can. Marvel the Nazar B'yayin with Yisrael with Shuma. So the Stam Mishnah that we're mentioning is, she does Beis Hillel. As you see many times, the Mishnah will be so same like Beis Hillel because that's how he always paskin, except for the six cases of the Tosos in the beginning of Shabbos that we saw discuss the exemptions to the rule. Arulahem Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai to disagree with them. Yata modim that you guys are going to agree turning out to next Amud Shemarvin the Gadol B'Yom HaKippur, and that we're allowed to make an Erev for a person who's a Gadol over the age of 13 on Yom Kippur, even though a person's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So we see an Erev could be used for something that people can't necessarily eat as long as some people can have it. Who's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Rashi points out, Katan Sheinu Bar Onshin is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Amr Lahan Aval, Bishamah says, correct, that's true. Aval, what do they respond to? Amr Lahan, Shem, Shemarvin Lagadol B'Yom HaKippur, and Kachmarvin Lahan B'Yom HaKippur, so Beis Hillel want to argue, they say, at the end of the day, what's the difference between Yom Kippur, an adult being allowed to use a Erev on Yom Kippur because of the food is allowed for children, as opposed to a Nazir who could say that everyone who's not a Nazir allowed to drink it, or for Yisrael who the Truma is allowed to drink it, we see that if something is suitable for a certain class of people, it should be mutter for everyone to make an Erev. That's what Beis Hillel is attaining to Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says to Beis Shammai, what's Beis Shammai going to respond? The Gemara answers, no, Hasim Ika Sudar Riyal Mibod Yom. There, in the case of Yom Kippur, the Erev is still valid while it is still daytime. There's a concept that we're going to see later on, that Sof Hayom Kona Erev or Tchilas Hayom Kona Erev. So apparently over here we're assuming that Tchilas Hayom is Kona Erev. The Erev kicks in immediately when Shabbos is starting, and we're assuming that that's going to start at Bein HaShemashos, and at that point when Bein HaShemashos is still daylight out, therefore right before Bein HaShemashos we're assuming that that Erev is going to take effect. However, when it comes to the case of a Nazir, there is nothing which was ever suitable for him while it's still daytime on Friday, so therefore also for him to use this as an Erev. The Gemara says that our Braisa is seemingly against Hanan's interpretation of what Beis Shammai held. There's apparently machlokas what Beis Shammai held, as we're going to see. We're assuming that our Braisa, which explained Beis Shammai the way it did, is not like Hanan. What is Hanan? It says that Hanan Omer, Kol Asman Shal Beis Shammai, Lo Yom Modim Be'erev Ad Shiyotzim Mitazim V'Kolik Tehoshim V'Lasham. The Beis Shammai is much more mashmer than that. They hold that the only time you're allowed to use Erev Tchumen is when you take all the utensils, everything you need for Shabbos, and take it out. It's not going to be enough to just put food over there. A very machmer shita that we have over there of Hananya, all of your utensils you plan on using need to be moved to where the Erev is going to be. So the Gemara says, so kiman azla hadisanya Erev b'shchorim lo yetzi b'levanim, that if you make an Erev wearing black clothing, you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos in your original tchum wearing white clothing. B'levanim, if you make an Erev with white clothing, lo yetzi b'shchorim, you shouldn't go out with black clothing. Gemara answers, kiman, this brisa is according to, or this teaching of the, yeah, this price of the Chora is like Amar Rav Nachman, it's like Chananiah Yevalim Beis Shammai. This price is like Chananiah's interpretation of Beis Shammai that says that all of the clothing you plan on wearing needs to be done on Friday already. You need to know where it is, you need to put it on, and therefore the black and white, it's not going to be good enough according to Beis Shammai. The Gemara says though, Chananiah Bishchorim Hu Delo Yetzei Hal Balam Ne Yetzei. According to Chananiah, you're allowed to go out with the Tchum, you're allowed to go out. Not with black, however, you're allowed to go with white clothing. Certainly, that sounds like you shouldn't be able to go. You need to take out everything that you needed. Here, you didn't take everything you needed, so the Chora, your whole Erev is puzzled. So, according to Chananya, would it be okay to take this out? So the Gemara says, Afika Amar, this is what the Braisa was saying. Erev b'levanim, etzuk l'shtun. If someone had been an Erev with white clothing on Shabbos, and he needed to wear black clothing, so then the lach is going to be Afka l'vanim l'yetze. Even with white clothing, you shouldn't go out beyond the tchum, because the Erev is going to be puzzled. So Gemara says, Kiman, who is this? Said, Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Chanani Valiba de Bishamai. That this is the opinion of Chanani, according to Bishamai, who says that all clothing that you're expected to wear on Shabbos needs to be put in your Erev location and planning already on Friday. The Gemara now says, Sumchus says, Omer b'chulin. Sumchus says that an Erev is allowed to be made only with chulin, not with truma for a non-coin. However, Sumchus doesn't argue that a Nazir is allowed to use wine. Why should that be? My time, why should be a chilek? If a Nazir is not allowed to have wine, before, according to Sumchus, it should be usher for him to use that as an Erev, just like it's usher for a non-coin to use truma. Something that's not valid for me to use would pass on me for using it as my Erev tchumin. So the Gemara says, why should that be the case? So why should he not make the chilek? So Gemara answers, Efshar de Mishal is Nizirus. A person can make a Taras Tadarim on his Nizirus. The person can say he regrets doing it, and you can go to a Chacham and mount to the Nether. So Gemara says, so if that's the case, a person can also do a Taras Tadarim on the fact that you took off your Chumas and Maestros, and the Lach would be that since you have the capability to do that, so then it should be Mutter. So since that'll do that for Chumas and Maestros, it should be allowed, a non-Kohen should be allowed to have it as well. That agav comes up halacha maisa, if a person accidentally takes off challah and he doesn't know where it is, then you could do a taras tadarim on the challah that you took off and then retake it off. I'm not getting a little process in that, but this idea of a taras tadarim for chuma maisa actually is no gal for halacha maisa of challah. The Gemara says, "Imishtala la hadra l'tvilas." If a person does want to make if he wants to get a chacham to take away the vow, to annul the vow, so then we're assuming that then it would go back to tevel, and then it would not be allowed to be in by anyone. So therefore, you haven't helped the situation because there's tevel, and tevel is not allowed to be in by anyone. So that doesn't help. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, the Gemara continues, well, maybe lift for Shalem HaKam Acher. There would be a way to do it. If you set aside an Erev from another place, and this would remove the fact that it's Tevel, and therefore be allowed to be in. The Gemara answers, Lo Nesha Du Chaveh, Lo Shalem HaMokav. No, but there's a Lacha Lech Achila, a person should be in close area to where he is taking off the Truma. So therefore, since there is it's a Dinder Rabbanan L'chora, that a person should be close, because if you're afraid if you're far, then a person is going to not have the produce, and then the truma maisa you took off, you're not going to know that it's not there, and then your thing remained tevel when you ate it. So the Gemara says, therefore we see that that since they don't do that, so then that there is no solution to the truma. So Gemara says, maybe another thing you could do, live for shalai minei abay, maybe you can set aside truma from the truma to the tevel itself, and only take off a small fraction as truma. So the Gemara says, no, we're dealing with the case where we have the lake of Beishur, you don't have exactly the amount of the two meals, so you can't take off any more for truma. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, though, umai Paska. But the Gemara says, what did the Tana would tell you that this is the example that we're mentioning? You did exactly two kibetzim, and this is the exact case. It's a very strange case that this Tana would be discussing this case. So therefore, it can't be that that's the case. The Gemara therefore says, what was Ela Sumchos Savar Lak Rabbanan? Sumchos holds like Rabbanan, the Amrei Kol Davar Shu Mishum Shvus, that anything is Aser Midir Rabbanan to do on Bein HaShmashos, so then Gazru Alav Mishim, Mishum Beirash Mashos, that immediately when it's twilight already, it's usher to do this on already twilight, even though Shabbos isn't definitely there. And Safek Rabban and Lechora should tell you that it's mutter. We're machmir on that and tell you that something is going to be usher to do. And the example over here would be taking off Truma, because we're afraid that Rambam explains the reason that it's usher on Shabbos is because it's similar to Makir and Patish. You'll come to complete a utensil, you say, oh, this Shabbos is allowed to fix this, I can fix something else. So then we assume that it's usher to do this on Shabbos. So the Gemara says now, so then who is the author of our Mishnah? Kiman Azlad is not a Mishnah which says, Yesh Amr Kol Vimashu Adam. There's going to be the measurement is going to be determined on each individual. Melokum to mincha, that when you have a handful of flour for the mincha, the korban mincha that was brought in the mizbeach, the melokum of keteras, so the handful of incense that was brought by the kohen gadol is going to be based on each individual kohen gadol and each individual kohen. But Hashem melulah we yom kippur, and someone who drinks a mouthful of yom kippur is going to be chayav. We are coming up to Yom Kippur. Muslim shtei sudas la'erev. Person has two meals for an erev. In all these cases, we're saying that it goes on an individual basis. And where's this command? Who is this Mishnah? Falam Rabbi Yezira. It's simply the Merman de Chazi Lei Beinan, who says that it has to be fit for the individuals doing it. We don't say lo plug that you should go after the bite la daita. We don't say any of that. L'chumra l'kula. We go after each individual and say that each individual is going to be his own status for the halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara now suggests Lema Pligi Harishum and Lazar. Maybe some folks are going to argue on Harishum and Lazar. What does he say? The Tanya Harishum and Lazar says Ma'arvin Lachol Azakan Kedem Azona. They're allowed to make an error for a sick person according to what he normally eats. And so this is the point which is going to be stira, is that we say that a person who's obese is that you go after the regular people because we say Batla Daito it's Adam for him, but yet we don't do this for the other person. So the more answer is Targama Achula Vizakin. The Mishnah is talking about a sick and elderly person who is going to be Mekil of a Ravasa Batla Daito Adam. However, when it comes to a Ravasa, we're assuming that everyone would agree that it's so unusual, so therefore everyone would agree that it would be Batla Daito Itzel Kol Adam. Okay, Mitzvah Shem will pick up a coin based on very short off, so we won't have a problem, even though there are a few islands above where I'd like to generally get to, but we have a very short off tomorrow, but as with Shem, so we'll be good.